Hello, and welcome to the teacher edition of Steve Barclay Ponders Out Loud. The complexity of teaching is both challenging and rewarding, and my curiosity has piqued whenever I explore with teachers the multiple pathways for facilitating student engagement in the exciting world of learning. This podcast looks to serve teachers as they motivate and support their learners. Thanks for listening. I'm delighted that you're here. Having learners discover who I am, how I learn, and what do I aspire to be. I'm excited today to have Kathleen McClaskey joining us. She's the co-author of the books Making Learning Personal and How to Personalize Learning. Kathleen has focused on creating learner-centered environments as a teacher, a K-12 administrator, and a consultant. Welcome, Kathleen.
Well, thank you, Steve, for having me today. I'm excited to be here and talk about this topic that I'm really passionate about.
Terrific. I'm wondering if you could start by giving us some definition of what we mean by personalized learning. And maybe within that, how did your experiences cause you to become focused upon that?
So I'm going to give you the definition I came up with a couple of years ago after, you know, about a decade of research on personalized learning and learner-centered environments. I finally realized that there was so much confusion around personalized learning, but here's what it is. Okay, personalized learning is not what is done to the learner or about tailoring the learning. It's about helping each learner to identify and develop the skills they need to support and enhance their own learning so that agency and self-advocacy can be realized.
Hence empowering.
Yes. It's really about empowering children to be able to support their own learning because, first of all, learning is personal and we actually have to develop a practice around our learning. And it's not really what the focus is in education, but if we were to do that, I mean, it's highly empowering to kids, and kids would be able to develop agency in their learning if, in fact, they could support their learning. And one of the things that I've developed over a period of time and is that we just need to have a common language so we can communicate better about our learning and the empower the learner process that, you know, I've introduced and have established for actually quite some time is really a way for kids to do that because we need to talk about our learning and we need to share our strengths and our challenges in our learning so that we can actually take action. It seems pretty simple, but it's a relatively simple process with profound effect for children.
I like to put the words simple and complex together.
Mm-hmm.
Simple doesn't mean easy. It can mean deep,
mm-hmm.
but it's straightforward. Am I okay with my words there?
Yes, absolutely.
So you raised three questions here. So let's take them one at a time, and maybe talk about how that question supports the learner and supports the teacher who's supporting the learner. So the first one being who I am.
Yeah, well, who I am is that really the personal understanding of yourself. You know, what are those things that I love to do, you know, when I'm not at school? What do I, and for adults, is what do I love to do? What am I passionate about? It's about your interests. It's about who you are culturally, your home environment. And it's also about what your very specific talents that you may have that you recognize. It's sharing, you know, the foods you love, the how you want to make a difference in the world. You know, those are all very personal, you know, characteristics. And we often don't, in schools, mainly, they actually do quite a bit of this where they talk about who I am, but they don't necessarily dive deep. The other another thing very personal is, well, how you describe yourself in words, right? And we've developed this whole process, a really nice graphic about the different words that how kids would describe themselves. And this is the one thing that kids really love to do, to share those sort of things out. But we want kids to develop a positive self-image, and it really begins talking about who I am.
So if my teacher doesn't know who I am, if my classmates don't know who I am, that makes the positive self-image difficult.
Mm-hmm. Very difficult. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I've spoken to just hundreds, if not thousands, of educators over a period of years. And one of the things that came to my light in a recent conversation with a teacher, a middle school teacher, and he said to me, you know, it's the stories that kids tell themselves is what they believe about themselves. And one of the most important things is for kids to be able to share their story, you see. And this whole process, this first, you know, piece is all about identity and having an identity. And I've made some notes to myself, and I just want to share that with the audience. Always remember this. Here's what the research tells us, is that identity is at the core of social and emotional learning in adolescence. If you do not have this identity, if you're not okay with your identity, there's problems, okay? It's so foundational for kids in their learning. And so this first part of who I am is very important. And we want kids, again, to have, you know, positive self-talk, because every day in school, unbeknownst a lot to parents, is that kids are talking to themselves. They're comparing each other. And that self-talk goes on and on. And we do this as adults, of course, too. But when it's kids, you know, we want kids to know that I'm okay with who I am.
Fair to say social media has provided a lot of negative for kids in that comparison piece.
Yeah. Social media has had unfortunately, quite a bit of a negative impact on children. And I think that kids are always trying to identify with so many things that are being said online. And the influence is just, you know, significant. So when kids are feeling good about who they are and they can actually combat a lot of those things, you know. But when kids are vulnerable, you know, social media basically, you know, just is that one thing that can impact kids in a very negative way. Even as adults, as I said, we do this ourselves, you know, we do a lot of self-talk. But for children, we want them to have this foundation of really being okay with who they are. And, because you have to have some personal pride. I think that may be an old terminology. And you have to have self-confidence. I know that we don't use a lot of that terminology anymore, like pride and self-confidence, but that's so important and foundational.
Let me try a connection. So for learning to occur, I need to be vulnerable. And I probably can't be vulnerable if I don't have the pride and the confidence. The pride and the confidence is like allows me to now be vulnerable, which is what I need to do to learn.
Right. Yeah, we want kids to believe in themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and I've created a graphic because I want, you know, that should be a focus, is getting kids to say, I believe in myself. We want kids to believe in themselves. They have just the potential to impact the world in such a positive way. And we want children to do that. I've had, again, lots of conversations with educators, and I often will say to them, I said, you know, why are we in education if it's not for all the kids' hopes and dreams, right? And that gets that whole piece on what I aspire it to be, because it is about hopes and dreams. I've done a lot of conferences, and one of the things I'll often do is I'll have the audience respond to, what were your hopes and dreams when you were kids, right? And I will tell you that within seconds, everyone is able to answer that. Everyone. They want to share that out like nothing else. And these are adults. And we had hopes, you know, because as children, we all had hopes and dreams. And some of us have realized those and some have not. And really it's like keeping your eye on the prize, you know, and don't forget about what you aspire to be, because it's usually something you're really passionate about, something you really want to do, you know.
One of the strategies I worked on when I was dealing with transition from middle school to high school was that the kids ought to have that in writing by the time they leave middle school, mm-hmm. on those hopes and dreams. And on the first day of high school, they hand a copy to all of their teachers, mm-hmm. because the expectation is the teacher's working for you. And so in order for them to be able to work for you, they need to have a clear understanding of what you're thinking, where you're going, what you want to make happen. And yeah. Boy, that would just allow teachers to make all the connections in the world back for the learner to see that the teacher is working for you.
Yes. You know, our job is, you know, and I, in my practice and also as a teacher, one of the things, you know, I always thought about is, you know, the kids having, you know, and I've been thinking like this for longer than you can imagine, but is that we want kids to have the skills and the practices in their learning so that they can support it for a lifetime. And we really don't have that right in education. We tend to want to do things for kids that provide more supports and really other discussions about kids having a learning practice, you know, and we'd love to talk about that because this all lends itself to how I learn.
And, I was going to say, let's spend a little time on that question, how I learn question.
Yeah. So about a decade ago, and first of all, I'm a long-term user and practitioner of universal design for learning. And I've developed multiple projects over a course of a decade with schools and states and about using universal design for learning around instruction. So when I got involved in personalized learning, you know, I thought, you know what, we should be using this for the learner, you know, and for the learner to understand themselves. So the principles of universal design for learning is that we need to provide multiple means of representation, multiple means of engagement, and multiple means of expression and action. So, but all those words sort of got in the way. So I created this UDL lens of access, engage, and express. And the reason I did that is to build a common language around learning so that we could have clear communication. And so how do we, first of all, access and process information that we get on a daily basis? And we all do that in very different ways. And we both have strengths and challenges in that area, okay? And I'm gonna get to the point that we really need to help kids identify their strengths and challenges. The second one is about how kids engage with content and concepts. And now that could certainly be through a number of means. It could be through problem solving or making, or it could be through collaboration, but how do kids like to engage, okay, with content? And the third is, how do we express what we know and understand, okay? And that can be, you know, provided in many different ways. So kids should be able to share their understanding, either by talking about it, writing about it. They could show it through a video or through some other multimedia. But in the end, it's all about making sense of your learning, which is really important. So when kids can identify the strengths and challenges around access, engage, and express, then they can actually talk about it. And when you can talk about something, you can actually take action. And this is pretty, you know, that's pretty what much happens in life, right? You can't take action unless you can talk about it. So we need to get kids to talk about strengths and challenges in their learning and then saying, you know, I have a difficult time reading. Well, that's probably about 20% of the population in schools. Okay. And I would really like to learn how to use Texas speech tools so I can read everything that I need to, you know, to learn. Now, you would think that that would be fairly common, example, and it is, but rarely does a child ever get to say those things. Okay. And so, and in fact, they sort of sit in their seat and they just, because they can't read fluently, you know, they miss out in a good portion of their education and they just have no way to communicate around that. And not all kids, by the way, get IEPs that can't read. In fact, our illiteracy rate in the United States has maintained for well over 50 or 60 years around 20% illiteracy.
I'm hearing the key teacher piece here is ask and listen. So it's getting the questions in front of the kids for the kids to do the reflection, Then the kids' answer being listened to solidly enough by the teacher that the teacher follows through.
Right. So, you know, this whole piece, this identity piece, who I am, how I learn, what I aspire to be, is critical for the next step, because the next step is what I call a personal learning backpack, in which kids have a set of tools, a set of skills to support their challenges and enhance their strengths. And let the child say, I want to learn how to use this, or I need to learn, or I would like to learn. So that whole I is so important. Instead of you telling a child, you need to do this, you need to do this, or you need to learn this, or you need, as soon as you say the word you to a child, okay, you've moved two things, you remove two things. First of all, it's ownership to learning, okay? And the other one is motivation. You just strip that away as soon as you said the word you. And we tend to do, you know, I would take that, you know, out of the conversation in classrooms, you know, and get children really to get to talk about the I, you know. And, you know, I have a hard time reading, or I have a hard time writing and organizing my writing. I'd really like to learn how to use a tool that could help me do that. Now, that's a request. They're saying, I want to learn how to do something for myself. Now you're on your way. So it's a very different conversation, you know.
Kathleen, would you tell listeners how they can follow up with you and find out about the resources that you have available?
Yeah, so the thing is, we're going to introduce the Empowered Learner program actually later this summer, right before school starts. And you can go to empowertthelearner.com. And on that particular website, if you go to the section called FAQs, lots of answers are given to a lot of questions that you may have. And you can also contact me at Kathleen@empowertthelearner.com. I read my email all day long, and I'd be happy to answer or respond to anyone that would have any question about this.
We will we'll put those in the lead into the podcast so folks can check back and find it there as well. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening. You can subscribe to Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud on iTunes and Podbean. And please remember to rate and review us on iTunes. I also want to hear what you're pondering. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Barkley, or send me your questions and find my videos and blogs at barkleypd.com.